Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories, oh what joy they bring to me, how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And praise the name of our Father in heaven. Give us another day. And let us rejoice this day and be glad in it. And thank Him for the things He's given to us. Those that we have on our back. A place to stay. Food to eat. And you know, of course, things of the world goes, that's about all we really need. Just to be able to travel through this life, looking always to His kingdom, His way and His will, studying His word, because without His word, without the Lord Jesus, without the Holy Spirit, we are nothing. But God loves us. He loved us enough to send His Son into the world to die and to take our punishment upon Himself so that we could be healed here on this earth. Not walk in sickness, and that we could have eternal life in heaven with Him. Now, Father, as we come to You this morning, in prayer we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we open Your word, Father, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to take this service and to bring it into being what You want it to be. Not what we would make it, but Father, what You would have it to be. Be with us now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Give you a minute to get there. All right. Verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present and based among you, but being absent and bold toward you. 2. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You know, when you take a look at those verses there, and even 4 there, forces for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, when you really take a look and see what Paul's saying there in verse 1, Paul, he says, I, Paul, myself. You know, that is a very strong expression. And it reminds all of us to study the word of his apostleship and his authority. Now, the change in Paul's tone is also evident to us. You know, there's so much that we know about Paul, because Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament, because he was sent to be the apostles to the Gentiles. Now, there in 2, he's talking about according to the flesh. And, you know, the change is not that he is carnal. That's not what he's talking about there. But what he's talking about is that he's lacking in divine inaction in his ministry. And he has usurped the apostles' office to himself. He's taking a good look at himself, which is something we all need to do. Every one of us. Now, there in 3, he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Which, you know, what he's talking about is we don't walk in the flesh according to human standards. In other words, the ways of this world out here. Because if you are a born-again child of God, then you're not of this world. You're just going through it, and you're doing the work that God wants you to do to help others to come out away from Satan and the things of this world to the Lord Jesus Christ and into his kingdom. Now, you know, when we do that, Paul is expressing here the manner in which believers conduct spiritual warfare. And he talks about his casting down imaginations. In other words, false arguments, such as Paul faced all the time with his opponents in the arguments that they had raised against him. And you know, when we go to God in prayer and we are his children, we know that the ability of pulling down strongholds is very, very real. Because there is nothing impossible to you and I through Jesus Christ. Think about that. Now, 5. Now, he's talking here about that very thing, about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, that's what we need to be doing. Don't be thinking about the things that we need out here in the world that is of the world. But we need to be keeping our thoughts more or less captive and our thoughts upon the obedience of Christ and his word. Because you see, it is through this word of Almighty God that you and I learn how to walk as a child of the living God. Think about that. Now, this word is life and death. If we accept God's word, walking God's word, living by it, we can have eternal life. But if we walk contrary to it, and we are not keeping his word, then we are really none of his. And we will face judgment. And hell fire. Think about it. Is it really worth it? All these things that you are holding dear, that belong to this world out here, that is not a part of God and his kingdom, and really has nothing to do with it, and you hold on to them or that instead of God, you know you're going to lose and lose out. Is it worth it? Putting your soul in hell and also to end up in that lake of fire with hell. Is that really worth it? It's not to me. But I can only speak for me. Now, 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. When your obedience, in other words, don't walk in that disobedience, but continue to walk in obedience until it's fulfilled. Now, 7. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Paul is letting them know how they should be looking at him and those with him. Paul goes on here and says, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority which the Lord has given us for edification and not for destruction, I should not be ashamed. But are you ashamed? That's the thing. We know Paul's not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, though. And he's one of the best examples that we can follow. Now then, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. Paul's not wanting to terrify them, he's wanting to help them. For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a one think this, that, such as we are in the word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. In other words, Paul letting them know, don't think that when we come, we're going to be different than we are by letter. Because they're not. The letter is true. And they're going to be walking in truth and living that truth when they come into their prison. Now, 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number of, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Why wouldn't they be wise to do that, huh? It's what Paul said. He goes on here in 13. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. In other words, their thoughts are with them. 14. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. They've not stretched themselves beyond. What they can do. And as though they had reached not unto them. And they have reached them. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, letting them know in this letter. We have been there. Preaching the word. Fifteen. Boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labor, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule, abundantly. Paul speaks very plain. As the Spirit moves him. Now, you know, Paul don't speak on his own. And neither should our ministers today. They should be speaking the word of Almighty God as it is given to them by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. 16. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Not in ourselves, but in the Lord. Because without the Lord, I can do nothing. So I've got nothing to glory about within myself. My glory is for the Lord my God, because it is He that gives to me what I have and what I am. Now, 18. For not he that commandeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commandeth. You see, I can't commend myself. That don't make me approved. The one that makes me and what makes me approved is the Lord. If He commended me. Now, we are at the end of chapter 10. Chapter 11 is quite lengthy. I think we're going to start. We probably won't get through all of it. We'll see what God has. But here again, we're getting a warning. And this warning is good, especially for this day and time. Now, even more so than it was back in Paul's day. All right. Verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chastened virgin to Christ. This is this. He's talking to the church here. He's not talking to the lost. He's talking to the church. That's who this letter was written to. And he's letting them know here. And there in verse 1, he's letting them know that he's uneasy about what he has to do. Because for him, it's foolishness. And you know, that second verse, it is the reason that the Corinthians must bear with Paul. Because, you see, it is for their own well-being. They had gotten to the point that they were in danger of turning from Christ by being set against Paul's ministry. This group that was following behind Paul, Paul knows about this, and he knows here in writing this letter that he must keep their affections and their confidence if he's going to be able to preserve them with Christ. Paul was a very, very used man. Used by God. Now, three, but I fear lest by any means has the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Don't let nothing separate you from the Lord Jesus Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Oh, he's warning them. Here in 5, he says, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle. He said, I'm not behind any of them. I have been called by God. Paul knows who he is, and he knows how he got there, by whom he got there, and how he got there. He was not of himself. Verse 6, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? He's letting them know. He can suffer many things, but that he is preaching the gospel of God to them freely. And listen what he's saying there, John. Here in 8, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Letting them know that is taking wages of them. And we know that Paul had taken money and all from the Philippian church in order to help. And he worked with his own hands to sustain a living on his own there with his first arrival at the Corinthian church. And he's letting them know, see, verse 9. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to me. The brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things, I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself. He's letting them know that he has not been a burden to them, and he's going to keep it that way. But he's let them know who has helped him also. That Macedonia has helped him even. And he goes on here in 10, and he says, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. He said, no one's going to stop him from boasting there. Because he's not really boasting about himself. He's boasting about the power of Almighty God. And in others that were helped. And he goes on here. In 11, he says, wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. Paul Twelve. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. In other words, he's talking about those that are following him, that is teaching something different for them to follow. And a lot of them have begun to follow these others. That's why he's telling them that he don't love them. And he don't love them that's following him. Now, he loves them as a human, but he don't love what they're doing. Now, because you and I are told that we have to love everybody, our enemies and all. And Paul tells us that in many, many, many different places, in many different ways. And we know he teaches what he teaches. Now, 13. Why is it that he's not loving what they teach? And he's not really showing them love? 13 tells us, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. In other words, they're proclaiming something that they are not. He lets us know right there. And he's letting them know. We've got a lot of them out here today that are claiming to be ministers of the gospel. But they are preaching things and accepting things that are contrary to the Word of God and also to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Father. This acceptance of homosexuality is an abomination unto God. And 25% of the churches have already accepted it as just an alternate lifestyle. Think about this. Churches out there has grown so weak that they are not preaching the word of Almighty God. Although I have a verse or two here and there, but they have that verse saying things it don't say because they've taken it out of context, twist and turn it, and add it to it and take it away and make it say what they want to say. Now, verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He's being very plain. 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. These men, these pastors that are not preaching the truth of God's work, his word, they will pay for what they're doing, but also they are leading a lot of people astray and away from the Lord our God. I say again, let no man think me a fool if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. He's saying, let him boast himself a little. But why? Because his boasting is always for the reason of Jesus. 17. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. 18. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. Paul's telling them about them being foolish because this is the way they've been in what they've been accepted. 19. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. He's letting them know. That's why he has proclaimed all of this was to show them just how foolish they were and how wrong. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. He's letting them know. He said, I've been speaking foolishly, but I am bold. Are they Hebrew? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? He says, I speak as a fool. I am more. In labor more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prison more frequent. In death often. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes. 5 times Paul has been beaten with 40 stripes, save one, which would have been 39 actually. 25. Thrice, 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice, 3 times I suffered shipwreck a night and a day. I have been in the deep. In sojourning often in peril of waters, in peril of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. These are things Paul has endured. Think about it. How many of those would you have accepted and kept on speaking to others about Christ today? Look at your pastor in your church. How many of these do you think he'd put up with before he left? No. 27. In weariness, in painfulness, in watching often, in hunger, thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. And also, after he'd been shipwrecked and on an island, Paul was snake bit by a poison viper. People sat around waiting. People on the island were just waiting for him to fall over dead. But didn't even make him sick. He shook the snake off into the fire. Now, 28. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak, and I am not weak, who is offended, and I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. He said, I'll glory about those things. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artaeus, the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desireth to apprehend me. And he knew about it. We don't know how he knew. He doesn't tell us. But he knew that he was keeping a garrison there just to apprehend him. 33. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. He's letting them know exactly how he got out of it and how he escaped. You see, when you will walk with God, he'll make a way. When there seems to be no way out for you, God will make a way. Think about that. We're going to stop here for this morning. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, keep us throughout this day. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. Let no harm come to any of us. And Father, may we all meditate upon your word, keeping your word in our hearts. But even more than that, may we bring it to life through our living for others to see, not to lift us up before mankind, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, Father, he is our Savior, our Messiah. Help us, Father, to reach out to others, to help them to come out of darkness and into light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, bring us all back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Father. And back into your word to learn more and plus to bring glory and honor and praise, Father, unto you. Father, this is my prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great day. God bless.